the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Amen. I say one thing. That's what I want to preach about today. I want to talk about the main thing. Maybe seated. Some wit said that the main thing is to keep the main thing, that's the main thing. And so we want to talk today about what is the main thing. When you get all of life and you bring it down to the basics, what is the main thing? This combination of words is used several times in the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 9. The wise man said, "For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beast." Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, that is, as the beast die, so dieth the other. Yea, all have one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. Everything that breathes one day, that breath will cease. Everything that has a beating heart one day, that heart will beat one last and final time. And he said, whether you're a beast or man, all of us have one thing in common. And that is, there's going to be a last day. There's going to be a last breath. There's going to be a last heartbeat. And then life is going to perish. And the light is going to go out. Now, we don't like to think about that. If you want to get things quiet, just start talking about death. And people will get quiet. Because it's a certain thing. Everybody is going to die. Amen. Nobody's getting out of here alive. Somebody would have said, what about the rapture? Well, that's a different kind of life. The Bible said we're all going to be changed. Amen. You're not getting out of here the same way that you came. But I just want to remind us that there's a common end for everybody. But the main thing is to see that you end well. It's not as important how you started. It's not as important how you are in the middle of the race. But what matters is how you end the race. You may not have had a lot to do about how you started. You may not like where you came from. You may not like how you grew up. It may not have been just the household you grew up in. Your family may not have been good to you. Life may not have been fair to you. But hear me today, you've got to end this thing well. You've got to end right. It doesn't matter how you started, but you can end this thing well if you keep the main thing, the main thing. David said one thing have I desired of the Lord. And then he said, that will I seek after. When you find something that is of worth, give it all you've got. When you find that one thing that really matters, friend, you've got to pursue that with everything that is in you. He said, this is what I'm going to pursue. I'm a king. I made it to the throne. I rule a nation. He said, but there's one thing that's more important to me than sitting on a throne and wearing a crown and having people call me a king. There's something more important than that. He said, that is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Everybody say dwell. Amen. He said, that's where I want to be all the time. Amen. Praise God. Let me tell you something. If you've never felt that way, chances are you've never really been in the presence of God. If you ever really get in the presence of God, you want to stay there. If you ever meet Him, the old timer said it well. He said, I was there when heaven kissed the earth, and I was right in the middle of the smack. Amen. If you could ever get to that place, that's where you want to stay. That's where you want to dwell, because that's peace, and that's joy, and that's clean and perfect righteousness. Amen. And so David said, I want to dwell there. He said, I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of God is transcendent above everything else in this world. I've seen some beautiful things. I've seen some beautiful things. Amen. But there's nothing like the beauty of the Lord. Paul said that he said, I knew a man, he said, that was caught up to the third heaven. And he said what he saw, talking about himself, of course. And he said, what I saw there, he said, it's unlawful for me to utter. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means that he's not allowed to tell us, or if that means that he doesn't have words to describe it. I got a feeling that the latter is probably true. Amen. I got a feeling, friend, that just on the other side of this thing, I don't know if you know what a tapestry is. It's a beautiful weaving of colors and shapes and designs, and it is a very beautiful to behold. It's very artistic. But if you look at the other side of a tapestry, it's not beautiful. It's a lot of colors, and it makes no sense, and the scheme doesn't make any sense, and it's rough, and it's unfinished, and you think, my, this is not very beautiful. But if you can see the other side, then you know what it's all about. I'm telling you today, this life, we're looking at the back side of the tapestry. Once we get to the other side and we can see the purpose of all of the weavings and the dark colors and the light colors and all of the patterns, then we're going to say, God, now I understand, and it really was worth it all. Right now, it doesn't make sense sometimes, but it will on the other side if you'll just hold on. He said, I want to behold the beauty of the Lord, and I want to inquire in His temple. Praise God. You can go a lot of places. I don't know about you, but I have some questions that are unanswered. I have questions I've asked smart people. I've asked educated people. I've asked experienced people. I've asked elders, and I've asked younger, and I still have some questions that have never been answered to my satisfaction. I've had some answers and all kinds of answers, but there's still some lingering doubt. There's just something that says that's good, but that's, I think there's something else. Anybody ever had a question like that? Just some stuff just does not make sense to you. And it doesn't matter. We have, and then people ask me questions, and I try to answer, but I wind up saying, but I don't really fully understand. There's some things I don't get it. I don't understand it. Amen. But you can inquire of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, God's not going to answer every question that you ask Him with a bunch of details. But I'll tell you what He'll give you. He'll give you an answer of peace. And when you walk out, you may not have an explanation. There's a difference in an explanation and an answer. You may not have an explanation, but you'll have an answer. And that answer will simply be peace. That's what the songwriter had in mind when he said, we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, we're going to understand that there's some things you're not ever going to get down here. And nobody's got a satisfactory answer. Life just doesn't come with all the answers in place. There's some things that God has reserved for the other side. But when I come to the house of the Lord, I don't leave here with an explanation for everything. But I leave with an assurance in my soul that said, yes, but everything is going to be all right. I leave it with an understanding that God is still in control. When it seems like life is out of control and out of tune, something whispers to me and said, it all matters and it's all going to be all right because God is still in control. Amen. I read this week, and I'm sure many of you read this week, the war that's going on in Israel. And somebody asked the Hamas why. They said, you're shooting all these rockets and they're not finding their target. I said, what is wrong? And they said, we don't know. Amen. We're on target. We're shooting them right. Everything's right. Amen. And it's just that somehow they're not getting to the target. You know why that is, right? There's a God that's saying, not there, over here. Not there, over here. Amen. Praise God. You see, that's what I'm talking about. The enemy will shoot his darts. But when you're in his presence and in his will, God will say, not there, over here. Amen. And doesn't matter how perfect they may be and how perfect their aim may be and how perfect their weapon may be, there's that one factor they cannot control, and that's God. Amen. Praise God. And so he said, that's what I'm after here. Amen. And Luke chapter 10 verse 41. Jesus was at the house of Martha and Mary, two precious sisters. And if I get the story right, Martha was, well, she was Martha. And thank God for Marthas. I'm so glad there are Marthas in the church today. Church couldn't do without them. Amen. Marthas are those people that when they find something, they do it with all their might. You don't have to ask them. They just see it needs doing and they do it. Amen. And they do it well and they do it right and they do it to the very best of their ability. Thank God for Martha's in the church. Amen. And so Martha was doing what Martha did. She was cooking and she was cleaning and she was serving because Jesus was in the house. And that's how she knew how to serve him, was with everything that she had and all of her abilities. And that's how she knew to do it. But her sister Mary was just sitting there. Amen. She was just sitting there. Jesus was talking and Jesus was teaching and she was just hanging on every word. And her, you could see the rapture on her face as she just sat there and saying, just drinking it all in, just being in his presence, just hearing his word. Amen. And Martha got a little upset. She said, Jesus, why don't you tell that lazy sister of mine to get up and get in here in this kitchen and help me? It's hot in here. I got my hands full. Pots are running over. I need some help in here. And Jesus, and Martha got an answer, but wasn't what she was expecting. Here's what Jesus said to her. I want you to get it. That's verse number 42. Jesus said, let me go read verse 41 first. Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha. He said, you're careful. Now, the word careful here in this context, is a little older version, King James. It's not talking about just being careful. It's talking about somebody that is full of care. In other words, he's saying you're anxious. You're anxious. You're full of anxiety. That's what he's saying there. He's not just saying she's being careful or cautious. He's saying, but you're just full of anxiety. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever just been tied as a guitar string right before it breaks? I mean, you are keyed up. That was Martha. She was over the highest key is on the guitar, I don't know. But whatever it is, I mean, she was that one and she was wound tight. She is just about to come unwound right there. You know what I'm talking about, right? If you don't, you will. Just hang on. Amen. He said, you're troubled. I say troubled about many things. Amen. Now, that describes some of us. Right? You ever come to church and you're just like Martha. I mean, you're wound tight, man. Amen. What does it say? You say, you're about to step on my last nerve. Amen. And you got it exposed and you're just waiting for somebody to step on it so you can unload. Just one more. Come on, buddy. You just push a little bit harder. I'll make sure, show you how much Holy Ghost I got. You just there. Amen. And so that's Martha. Now listen, here's what Jesus said. He said, you're troubled, you're careful, you're anxious about many things. And I want you to get this, but one thing, everybody say one thing, but one thing is needful. Yes, we need to eat. I appreciate the way you cook. I appreciate the way you prepare. I appreciate the cleanliness of your home. I appreciate the orderliness. I appreciate the beauty. I appreciate the flowers. I appreciate the arrangements. I appreciate everything you're doing. He said, but one thing. There's one thing that's needful. We don't have to have flowers. We can eat if it's not orderly. Amen. And it don't have to be, you know, we can just eat beans and taters. That's fine. Don't have to be fine. It's just, he said, but there's one thing that's needful. One thing. And he said, and Mary has chosen that good part. Amen. Now, what was that good part? He said, it's not going to be taken away from her. Here it is, folks. Here it is. That one thing that you've got to have. This is something we need to understand. Jesus is our Sabbath. In the Old Testament, there was a Sabbath day. They called it the day of rest. It was actually Saturday. Sunday's not the Sabbath. Saturday was the Sabbath. And it was a day of rest. Amen. But Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. What that means is that you have rest on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. You just get to rest all the time because Jesus is that rest. Here is the rest wherewith the weary are caused to rest. Amen. He said that with stammering lips and another tongue when he speaks to this people, when Jesus Christ comes, the Holy Ghost comes into you, you have rest. You have peace, and it's there every day, all day long. Is that right? You experience that peace because you're in his presence and he's with you. You don't have to go to a place. Amen. You don't have to set aside one day because he's with you every day. So what he's saying here is Jesus is my rest. Jesus is my Sabbath. So what I'm saying to you today is you don't have to be troubled about all this stuff. You start getting trouble, it's time to back off and just have a little prayer meeting. Huh? Shake your head like this right here. Mm-hmm. Right? Amen. It's time to just go to your Sabbath, saying, Lord, I need a little rest here. Amen. I'm about to lose it. I'm getting the Martha spirit on me. I need a little Mary spirit right now. Amen. Come on, just let me have that rest. Amen. Praise God. And that rest comes. Being in his presence, being mindful of him, being aware his presence is there. But sometimes we're not perceiving the presence of the Lord, right? We feel everything else but the Spirit of God. We feel tension. We feel anger. We feel disappointment. Amen. But we're not feeling the presence of the Lord. Though it's there. So we need to get the Spirit of Mary and say, wait a minute. I'm going to focus on the one thing that is needful. Whether I get this house clean or not, in the next few minutes is not going to matter. But the fact that I can feel peace and joy and rest, that matters. How many know you can get a whole lot more done when you're at peace and when you're troubled? And get it done better. Amen. You know, you get to doing too much of that banging around, you'll break stuff. You'll say stuff, it'll take a long time to fix if you can ever fix it. You'll step on feelings and do things that it'll take a long time to straighten out. You better take some time for that one needful thing. And hear me, understand this. Husband, if your wife says, honey, I just need a few minutes here for the needful thing, you better let her have it. Let her have that minute. Let her go get that one needful thing, that rest that she needs, that presence of God that'll set everything right. And wife, you listen to me. If your husband, you have a little set to, and he says, honey, wait just a minute. He said, I need that one needful thing. You better let him have it. I don't mean let him have it. I mean, you better back off and say, all right, honey, I know you need to have a little time. What does that song say? Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Amen. Praise God. So we have that needful thing in our lives. Amen. Praise God, that needful thing in our lives. Amen. That's the main thing. And you need to know where your treasure is. You remember that story? It's in the book of Mark, chapter 10. And I love this story. Verse 17, Jesus came into the way, and the Bible said there came one, everybody say running. I mean, he didn't just come to Jesus, he ran to him. He was so excited, enthusiastic, and he kneeled down before him. And he said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Amen. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's not one good, and that's God. Well, he was right on there. Verse 19, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And the man said unto him, master, all these I have observed from my youth. What a great youth this was. What a marvelous example this was. He'd fit right in here in Athens. Amen. He is good. He was quality stock. Verse 21, and then Jesus, beholding him, listen to this, loved him. And said unto him, here it is, one thing. Now that's getting pretty close. Brother Fry, if you just lack in one thing, some of us lack a bunch. But I mean, he had it down to one thing, man. He said, buddy, you're almost there. You just need to do one thing. Just one thing. One thing. Amen. He said, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come take the cross and follow me. You see, just it was just one thing, that close. Amen. Did you get all that? That's a lot. He said, sell what you have, sell, give. Sell it and give it. Sell it and give it. And then listen to the promise. He said, thou shalt have treasure. You're not losing it. I said, you're not losing it. I said, you're not losing it. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. You're just going to lay it for a little while. Right? Now, it's a whole lot easier not to have something than it is to have something and sell it and give it. And so I've heard people say through the years, you know, one of these days, man, when I strike it rich, when I win the lottery, amen, I'm going to really bless the church then. Can't do it right now, but when I get rich, I'm going to do it. And I don't always say it, but I always think it. Yeah, right. Because if you can't do it now, I promise you, you won't do it then. Right. If you can't do your little $10, $15, $20, $50, $100 now, you're not going to do $100,000, $200,000 then. That's right. That's right. Amen. I'm not giving no $200,000 to any preacher, although I'm worth $2 million myself. I like it when it gets quiet. That means it's sinking in. I can hear the rubber burn. Yeah, I mean, you're using thinking you had never used. Let me go on here. We'll get out of trouble, baby. Praise God. And so he said, you're going to have treasure in heaven. Amen. And the Bible said, verse 23, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possession. Now, here's the thing. He wanted to do it, Brother Bacon, but he just couldn't bring himself to. He loved his riches more than he loved the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to try to hurry here, but this has got something awesome I want to show you. Look at this next verse. Then Jesus looked around about and said to his disciples, listen to this very carefully, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Now, the word hardly means with great determination, with great effort. In other words, it's going to be hard for them to do it. Again, it's easier to never have had something than it is to have it and give it up. He said, and there's another key word here, that is going to be hard for them, but look at this next thing, verse 24. And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered them and said unto them, children, how hard it is, here's the key, for them that trust in riches. Not that have riches, but those that trust in them, those that have faith in them, those that put their beliefs and values in them. See the difference? If you can have all you want in your hands, just don't let it get in your heart. That's when it's too much. Amen. And so he said, this is the problem. It's not that they have riches. It's just that they trust in their riches. Amen. It's hard for them to get in the kingdom of God. Then he used that classic example, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Let me explain that just a minute, okay? And then I promise I'm going to hurry on here. How does a camel get through the eye of a needle? Amen. I don't know. Theologians say, historians say, that there was a gate into the city that was called the eye of a needle. And when the camel came there, first thing he had to do was he had to get rid of his load and take everything off of him. He couldn't get through there with a big old load of stuff on his back. Had to take everything, they had to unload him. And then that camel had to get down on his knees. And that's the only way he could get through. So what he's saying is, the only way you're going to get in the kingdom, you got to get rid of everything. You got to unload yourself. You got to get rid of your burden. If you got a bunch of stuff, you're going to have to lay down your stuff. Amen. You got to get down on your knees, and then you can go through. When you get on the other side, they can put your load back on. But the only way you're getting into the kingdom, into the city, is you got to get rid of your stuff. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that what we do? That's what we call repentance, isn't it? Repentance is when we come and we unload all of our stuff. And we said, it's just you and me, Jesus. I don't have any wealth. I have nothing to recommend me. Don't have any stuff. And just as I am, without one plea. Amen. Just me and you, Lord. And that's how we get in the kingdom. And now I'm going to hurry up here now. I'm going to skip that part. And I don't want to skip this part. Philippians chapter 3. I'm almost through. Verse 13. Brethren, Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. The word apprehended means to have grasped or gained. But this one thing, everybody say one thing. This one thing I do. Now, he's Pentecostal. It's like me saying I'm nearly through. I really am compared to when I started. He said, this one thing I do. And then he gives us three things. but it's all part of the same one. Everybody say forgetting those things which are behind If you're going to make the kingdom, you've got to have a good forgetter. Hello? You're going to have to forget some stuff. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to forget some stuff. Well, you know what they said? Forget it. Do you know what they did? Forget it. You're going to have a good forgetter. If you're going to make it, you're going to have a forgiver and a forgetter. Paul said, I got to forget some stuff. Amen. Praise God. You know, he learned a lesson. He said, I can't live in yesterday's revival. No matter how good church was then, I got to have good church now. No matter how much I prayed then, I got to pray now. No matter how good people were then, people got to be good now. I got to be good today. I can't live in the past. I got to forget some stuff. And then the next thing he said, I got to reach forth. Everybody say, reach forth. I can't keep looking behind me. You know what happens when you try to drive a car looking behind you? I don't advise it. I got here real early yesterday morning. I woke up at 5 o'clock and couldn't sleep. So I got on my motorcycle and headed to the church. It was still dark. And I got right out here in front of the church. It's dark. The road's dark. I'm getting ready to turn. I didn't see it. But somebody had hit a dog and left it right there in the middle of the road. I wasn't looking at the road. I was looking where I was going. And all of a sudden I went, vroom, vroom. And the motorcycle goes, and I thought, boy, I better watch where I'm going here. Thank God it didn't spill. I made it somehow. But after that, I thought, I'm going to watch where I'm going next time. I was reaching too far forth, I guess. If I'd been looking behind me, I probably would have lost it right there. Amen. But what are you saying, Brother Grissom? I'm saying you got to forget some things and you got to reach forth. Everybody say reach. You're not just strolling. You got to be reaching. You want to do well, you got to be reaching for it. Hey, I don't know if you ever run track or run in a relay, but, man, when you get close to the end of that race, you're stretching out. Amen. You're not just laid back, just chugging along. No, sir. You're all out and you're reaching. Amen. If you can thrust yourself just 1 inch ahead of your opponent, you're going to win. So you are reaching forth. You're doing everything you can to finish that race and win. That's what Paul's saying. He said, I'm reaching forth. And then I'm almost, he said, I press. Huh. But I'm tired. My muscles are screaming. My lungs are burning. My legs are getting weak. My heart is pounding. I just don't know how much longer. But he said, I'm pressing. I'm pressing. I'm pressing. Amen. So that's the one thing. You gotta give it all. We're close to the end. You gotta give it all you got. You can't stop now. Let's stand together. Just one thing. Just one thing. Amen. Praise God. We got to give it all we got. Everybody say forget. Anybody want to? You got some things you need to forget today? When I said that, if something came to your mind, that's probably what you need to forget. If every time you get ready to do something for God or serve God and something comes in your mind, most likely that's the thing you've got to forget. But I know what I'm talking about here today. Amen. But Brother Grissom, I just don't know. I promise you, I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. But if you can just lay that aside. I'm not saying it was fair. And I know it wasn't right. But it don't help you to hang on to it. You know what I'm saying? You've been carrying it around a long time. And what has it done for you? Nothing. All it's ever done is hold you back. And make you weary and cause you pain, it's time for you to lay it aside. Anybody got any scars here today? You know what a scar is? A scar is a wound that has healed. A scar doesn't hurt. It just reminds you of a wound that you had one time. But it's all healed up now. And you probably don't think about it until you see it. Because it's healed. That's the difference in a wound and a scar. Amen. That's the difference in forgetting and hanging on. Just let it go. Hurts? Yes, it hurts. Wrong? Yes, it was wrong. But it's not helping. Just let it go. Forget it. Amen. And then reach forth. reach forth. Press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling in Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Somebody here today, I'm encouraging you. It's time for you to press forward. It's time for you to move out of where you've been. You know what I'm talking about. You've been thinking the same thing. You've been feeling the same thing. You've been actually wanting the same thing. God, I need to get out of this. I'm tired of being like this. I'm tired of living where I'm living and being where I am. I need to get out of this. And this has been holding me back too long. It's time for me to reach out now. Time for me to press forward and go on with life. I mean, and this is your opportunity right now. The presence of God is here. God's in this house. His promise is here. Amen. I'm telling you can do it today. You can do it. You can do it. Amen. I'm encouraging you right now. Amen. There's an altar here if you'd like to come. You'd like to pray right where you are. Amen. But I'm just asking you right now. It's time to press. Everybody's eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. Everybody's focusing on Jesus Christ here right now, right this moment. I'm asking you, just reach out to him right now. Amen. You can come down and pray. That's good. You can stay where you are and pray. I don't care. Amen. That's fine too. But just all I'm saying, it's time for you to reach forth right now. Start reaching out. Start reaching out. Start reaching out. Amen. Somebody said reach up to that reaching down hand. Amen. That's what you got to do. You got to reach up while he's reaching down. Amen. Because when you touch him and he touches you, it's going to make a difference.